Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this podcast whatsoever. I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. Wow. Guys, you're going to be so proud of me. I'm recording on a Wednesday, midway through the week. Can you believe it? Honestly, I'm shocked. I'm very much in shock right now. I want to keep this intro very short, honestly. Like, I don't really have a lot to say in the intro. But I do have a lot to say in regards to our next topic, or the topic of today. You read the title. You're probably like, girl, what are you talking about? You will see. But nonetheless, let me see. I'm trying to think of what I really want to get out, like, before I do anything. Oh, the always reminder. The program I'm using to record the podcast, since my computer is still very questionable right now, I am currently in the process of shopping for a new one. So I currently am using this program and it only allows me to record in 30 minute increments. So we might have to take a little mid pause in between everything, or every 30 minutes, essentially. So just know that. It's Wednesday. It's cold. It's rainy in LA. I hate it. Like, I hate all of that. For me, I'm a big winter fall hater. I don't care what you say. And I will literally die on that hill. I don't care if I'm dying solo. I die on that belief. Summer and spring over winter and fall every time. I don't care. And I do have arguments to back that up. So if you guys want to hear a podcast episode on that, you let me know. So anyways, yes, reminder, I can only do 30 minute increments. Just thank you so much for everyone that has been reaching out saying that they like the pod and, you know, just saying that they've really been interested in what I've been doing. Love you guys. Hope that all is well with you. And what do you guys want for Christmas? Cause y'all are real ones. Anyways, nonetheless, I don't really have a lot to say in this intro. I'm just going to skip right to this episode. I have a lot to cover and I'm also really hungry. So, yeah, I want to eat and I want to go to bed early cause your girl has work in the morning. So yeah, but let's just get to it. Let's not wait any longer, bae. Let's keep going. And we're back, ladies and gents. I'm also realizing, I actually just checked my calendar and I'm realizing that this episode will be live on Christmas, technically. I know for Latinos in my family, at least my family personally, we celebrate the 24th technically as Christmas and the 25th. So I just want to say happy holidays to all and whatever you celebrate. I know Hanukkah passed on the 8th. So happy Hanukkah, or late Hanukkah, to those who celebrate, those who enjoy the holiday, a time of family, time of, you know, I don't know, just time of unison, I would say. And it is holiday season, no matter what you celebrate. So happy holidays to all those who celebrate and whatever you do. But you knew this was coming, you guys. You knew this was coming. I have been dedicating every episode since my comeback to what is going on in the world. And you knew this was coming. All right. You knew this was coming. It's not a shock to you. As it is technically Christmas by the time I upload this and have it go live, I do want to say that since it is technically Christmas, at least for me and my family, I cannot just sit here once again without dedicating at least a portion of my podcast to what is going on in this world, specifically in Palestine, in the Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Oh God, not me out of breath. I just had a popcorn, you guys. Whoa. My mouth is a little dry. My throat's a little dry. But I can't really just sit here and basically just ignore what's going on in this world. I need you guys to remember for the 1,000th time, and you will keep hearing it until you are sick of me. We are currently celebrating holiday season. And whatever it is that you celebrate and whatever traditions that you hold near and dear to you, or maybe you just don't care about the holidays, right? I'm not going to fight you on whatever it is you believe in and whatever you don't, honestly. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. And so, honestly, I really cannot sit here in a air-conditioned home with technology, with me looking. And also, by the way, you guys, like I mentioned earlier, it is really cold in LA today. I want to say it's like 50, 40 something degrees outside. It is raining. It is peak like winter season. It is peak winter day outside. Like as the holidays are rolling in, it definitely feels like that weather, that cold weather. Me personally, I hate cold weather. I always have. I always will. I am a spring baby at heart. I don't fuck with cold weather. Never have, never will. I've always grown up in heat. So to me, this is like my enemy. But nonetheless, as you all know from literally every video out there, it is currently also winter in Palestine. So can you imagine just being in that cold weather you are sitting in currently, wherever you are in the world? Maybe it's not so cold where you are, but you know how cold the world gets when it's winter on, I believe, the Northern Hemisphere. I know that in South America, it is summer currently, if I'm not mistaken. But nonetheless, you know how cold it can get, and you know how cold the world and like major cities that are known for being cold in the winter get. I really cannot fathom being in the worst of times in Palestine, and also not only living a genocide, but also living in extreme weather conditions on top of that, and also disease building up and just death by not even, you know, genocide anymore, but also on top of that, diseases. So just a reminder that that is happening on another part of the world right now. And I know you're probably like, I don't want to hear this on the fucking holiday season. Well, you should, because to me personally, the holiday season is canceled this year. And I really think we just cannot ignore it. And I'm not going to shame you for the life that you have currently. I feel very weird. It just feels very dystopian to be living in this world right now, to see one minute you're scrolling on Instagram Reels and or TikTok, if that suits your fancy. And you're just like, oh my God, that was a funny meme. I'm going to save it and share it with my friends. Then all of a sudden the next reel is like someone talking about their suffering in Palestine. So it is so dystopian to me. It just, some days I'm like, oh yeah, life is good. And I'm like, wait, no, it's not. Like, it may be good for me right now. And despite all of the personal struggles I have and deal with that we all share and that we all live, on the other side of the world, it is so much scarier, so much more depressing, and also just tragic in so many ways. And so as it is the holiday season, we cannot forget about those in the other parts of the world that are suffering, losing loved ones. You're probably right now, or you're probably making plans to celebrate the holidays with your family, or some people that are not from their home or where they live, they're going home for Christmas. And just a reminder that you can do that while most people right now in the Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo and Palestine cannot do that currently. So this is just your reminder to be grateful, keep up with what's going on. And also me personally, and this is just me speaking, the holidays are canceled this year, truly. And you obviously know why. I don't need to elaborate on why. If you have a phone and technology and access to social media, you know why. And so, like I always say, I really don't know how to, you know, transfer or like transition into like what we're actually talking about today. But nonetheless, this is just a reminder. I will be linking all the same sources I've been linking in every one of my episodes thus far, and, you know, to get informed, to see what's going on, and honestly just engage with Palestinian content, and also all these countries mentioned content as well, because it boosts their engagement and also puts it on more people's feed. But yeah, that's really all I can say. Just happy holidays, and just don't forget what's going on in this world. Please don't leave those other people behind. They are just as important as you are, and just as we are all people, and we all suffer in our own way. And ironically enough, we are going to be talking about something very similar for today's episode. But nonetheless, happy holidays. Stay warm, stay healthy, and just don't forget that there are people that need our help as well. So I will see you guys in the next section. And we're back, ladies and gents. Once again, I'm here to remind you that the program I'm using only allows me to record in 30-minute increments. So we will see where we leave off in this first half, if that's all I can cover today. Like I said, I am getting kind of hungry right now, so I might have to speed this up, y'all. All right, I have soup waiting for me downstairs. Okay, hot, seeping hot sopita is what I'm craving right now. But anyways, let's get to the topic. And so today's topic is in regards to community, and community is absolutely necessary and absolutely everything, and the foundation of what really society is going to go, like, or it should be going to, at least in the U.S., because I'm going to be talking strictly on the U.S. perspective on community. There are so many layers to this conversation. It's multifaceted. It's so hard to cover everything in literally just an hour, let alone even me trying to sum this up in a couple minutes, you know? Like, there's so many layers to this, and you're probably like, why this topic today? Well, to be honest, I feel like the big theme for me this year, or at least the last few months of this year, have been very much hyper-focused on community as a whole entity, with everything involving every subtopic, every umbrella, just in regards to all community and so many different aspects as a society. And also, I think I got prompted the question, I think I saw in like some Instagram slide that was like kind of like describing like branding and marketing and stuff like that. You would think, I don't know how it can be this deep, but also I believe my dance mentor from my dance company also kind of briefly mentioned this similar conversation and topic and question I'm going to bring on to you that you can marinate on, write in your journals or whatever it is. But the conversation and the question I bring to you today is the question of, where do you see the world going right now? And especially during a time of like literal conflict, so heavy that I cannot even fathom with my own mind to this day how on earth as a society we can fix things as people. And when I say, where do you see the world going? It doesn't have to necessarily be activism. It can be like, in regards to the creative arts, if you're a painter, where is the painting world going to? What have you been seeing? What trends are going on? Or I guess you can say trends, like not even like trendy, like TikTok trends. I'm talking like, what are you seeing more consistent of in regards to other things in the past? It can also be in regards to sports. What do you see in basketball? What are you seeing in soccer, et cetera, et cetera. It can also be in corporate America, like the job world, the job market. I'm noticing personally in regards to that aspect, to answer that particular subtopic in the question of corporate America, I see people actually leaving corporate America more than anything, or only using corporate American jobs to pay their bills, but they're doing other things on the side that they actually really love to do and want to make money from full time one day or as a side hustle. And also it can be in your personal life. Like, where do you see the world going and how are you connecting to the world today? And maybe any of these topics, or in a broader sense of the term, like, where do you see the world going and how do you fit in a part of that? And so also this topic today, I'm doing this because, as like I mentioned in my reminder for all the countries that are going through such horrible times, I have been seeing so much activism through my phone and through people that are coming together to realize that what's going on in this world is so, so heavily fucked up. And so I would say even evil at this point, like to a point where it's so inhumane and disgusting how other people treat others, people in power treat other people. If you want to go full force, we can talk about how millionaires and billionaires impact the world after them and what they see as inferior to them. And I also saw, I haven't read the article yet, but I saw that, Savage X Fenty actually kind of really won the mitt off for how bad their fast fashion industry is and how unethical it is compared to Shein. I know the whole year has been hyper-focused on Shein, as the fashion brand being unethical. They've got a FICO, or no, whoa, not FICO. Oh my God, that is nowhere near the same. Oh my God, bitch. Fuck FICO, by the way. That's all I have to say. Fuck FICO as well. They can suck my fucking dick and choke on it. For legal reasons, I am totally joking. But anyways, no, Shein actually got a RICO charge, which I believe, I don't remember the actual like abbreviation, what RICO is, but we all know it's bad. You can look it up. And also just found out that Savage X Fenty did not receive a RICO charge, but is actually doing way worse than Shein. I do have tea on that in regards to another brand that I will not say, because I will just wait until the lawsuit comes forward, because they did send me a letter in the mail saying that if I would like to come forward with a lawsuit, it's a whole thing. It's not gonna be class action. I don't even know the details. Let me just shut the fuck up. Anyways, Nonetheless, that's also a thing. In regards to just, I think that the biggest lesson of my episode today and what I want to bring to the table for you all today is I chose this topic because it has been on my mind so much these last few months. Two, it is a holiday season. It is about making things happen for people, being there for one another, and whatever that looks like for you. Maybe you want to help. Instead of buying a friend a gift, you want to see how you can help them in another way. Maybe you can help them, I don't know, but you guys can build a basket together. You can, or if you do have the funds for it, maybe you guys can like help pay each other's like debts or whatever that looks like, bro. For me personally, as I'm getting older, like the only Christmas gifts I want are like my credit card paid off and more money, dude, like especially during a time right now of inflation and economic stress and financial stress that we're all as a collective going through. Everything is so expensive. Everything is so scary. The unknown, like just what is next for us as a society is a very pending fear. We are literally entering, if not already, in an official recession. Like life is scary right now more than ever. And I think that community is a big way to help each other. Whether we choose to believe that or not, whether you choose to see that or not, I know it can be hard sometimes to be like, how is community going to help my financial situation? Oh, best believe it can. If we all really came together as a society in the US and we actually looked after ourselves, whereas not thinking of such an individualistic point of view, I think that we could really solve a lot of shit. I'm still learning about that personally. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, being a community can solve things and solve problems and solve the world. But it's also really scary to think that when you're in it alone, you're like, how on earth can that happen? Even if there's a small collective of people that are willing to do that. It's really hard to believe it sometimes, but it is possible. And so I'm also bringing this as a third reasoning because it's just important to see where the world is going. Not only your personal reflections. I feel like we all are currently doing, if not already, or will be doing a personal reflection, your vision board, your personal goals for the world and yourself and what you want to see in the new year, what you want to see yourself complete for the new year. And just the dreams that you have, the goals that you want and manifestations, journaling, vision boards and all that stuff. And also to include where you are going to be a part of that in the world. Like, how are you going to make an impact on the world if you haven't already chosen that as a form of a goal? For me, that's a big goal for me. Always will be. And I will definitely want to take that into the new year and every year after that, you know? Yeah, those are my three reasonings for this topic today. I think it's very important as a society that we stick together, especially during a time where we've all known that the government does not care about us, that higher powers do not give a shit about the citizens of the world. We all know that, and there's no such thing as an ethical billionaire. And so essentially, like, it's a moment of reflection where you can kind of ask yourself, what's next and how is community going to help me, and so, or help each other essentially. And so I think that I really wanted to focus on not just community, because community can mean, like I said, a multifaceted layer of things. It's a multifaceted concept with truly there's no right or wrong. There's no end. Community is not an ending. It's not a finite solution. It's not a finite concept. It's quite literally ever changing. It always will be ever changing. It will be adapting to the world as we know it. It will be adapting to trends. It will be adapting to, just the world, the way the world changes, the way society moves and changes is the same way community will also shift and change and adjust and adapt. I really feel like wholeheartedly, my personal opinion, that humans are capable of literally everything that you can dream about and anything if you really take the time to do things. It's so true. It's very real. If you are given an opportunity and dedication, anything, and I mean anything, can come, anything can happen when it comes to the human experience. And so I wanted to focus on primarily, when I think of community, I think of Indigenous. I think of Indigenous folks. I think of them more than anything. I didn't have a lot of time to do research on, like, you know, the deeper endings and the deeper way deeper research that would go into studying Indigenous folks and their original ways and what they believe in. But I will say, and I will be linking the two people I mentioned today, and I will be linking, I actually found this on YouTube of all places. It's amazing what YouTube can bring these days. YouTube is a great resource, by the way. If you guys are really looking to like hear what people have to say in the world, YouTube has been a great source. It always will be. I think everybody knows that at this point, but sometimes you just like forget. Sometimes I just like to spend my days on YouTube just like watching vlogs and fashion stuff, or just like my favorite YouTubers personally. I like forget that there's like amazing sources out there and amazing people that we should be listening to and amazing people that we should, you know, follow more in regards to, you know, activism and community as a whole. I feel like I kind of do my more activism on Instagram and Twitter. I feel like I like to follow those type of people that are on there primarily. I feel like YouTube is also a greater form of longer content and information, like podcasts and just informational videos that can be however many long, from like 5 minutes to like 20, 30 minutes, you know? But I will say the first person I would like to bring to the table is Liz Liz Akiwenzi. I don't know if that's the pronunciation of their name. I really, really wish that they could, you know, come through the fucking, like, you know, video that I saw and be like, it's actually pronounced like this. But the conversation with Liz Akiwenzi, she is part of the Fan Shwa Institute of Indigenous Learning, which I actually learned that this institute is actually based in London, Ontario, Canada. And they are a community college actually in London, Ontario, Canada. And so I linked the video in, I will be linking the video so you can check it out. But basically the story or the summary of her work and her video. Oh God, guys, I had to sneeze. Oh no. Oh no. Oh my God, wait. I think there's another one. Oh my God. Ah, sorry. I was getting very serious and all of a sudden I had to sneeze. But yes, I'll be linking her her video. And basically the summary of her video is like only 3 minutes long, which is pretty good for my short attention span folks, because that's me as well. But nonetheless, she's basically talking about essentially what it means to be part of Indigenous social work. And the common theme that I found with the other person I'm going to mention in a minute is that you can't really do Indigenous, I mean, to them, obviously, I can't misspeak her words, but if I misspeak, obviously, someone can correct me and watch the video and be like, actually, it's what she meant is this and stuff like that. But nonetheless, is the trend I'm seeing is that we cannot, as a society and through Indigenous work, according to Miss Liz here, essentially be part of, you know, a bigger social work if we are not healing ourselves. And I think one quote that stood out to me from the video was basically society, or like the rough I guess transcript of it is like, the gist of it is that we cannot I'm really trying to like say the right things here, and I don't want to misspeak, but Liz was saying how we cannot as a society continue to do social work and actually mean it if we do not heal ourselves and heal from the world, heal from essentially colonization, if we're going to be really honest here, and heal from so many problems that we face in our society. We cannot go forward with social work without healing ourselves from within. And what she mentioned is that society teaches you to be who you are in career, but never who you are. And I was like, whoa, girl, you kind of blew my mind there. And I think as a society, as modern Western society, we really struggle to separate career versus who we actually are. And I think that's a really big struggle that I feel like I'm going to struggle with for a long time. It's really hard to just like distinguish the two when they really shouldn't be so hard, like to distinguish like from each other. Like we shouldn't attach ourselves to who we are and what we do as work, but we somehow always end up doing that, you know? And Similarly with this next woman I'm going to mention, I believe she's a sister, Lorena Cabal. She's a Mayan Xinca. She's part of the Xinca tribe, I believe, in the description of the Instagram post that she is Mayan and Xinca. I really hope I'm not misspeaking that, but I did a little quick Google search, and Xinca tribe and people, actually they originate from Guatemala. So I believe she is based in Guatemala. And I wish I could find the full video of like the Instagram reel that I attached, because I was looking all over for it and I really couldn't find it. But if y'all can find it, I hope you find it and send it to me. But basically, it is in Spanish, by the way, and it's not translated. But for my Spanish speaking folks, you can go to the link and watch it. And if you want to read the caption, it also is able to be translated. But for the folks that don't speak Spanish or speak it well, like me, some days my Spanish is very well, other days it is very questionable. My dad can attest to that and roast me every time he sees me for it. But Lorena, she was basically saying how the same thing as like Miss Liz from the first mention, that like, we cannot heal the world and take on such big problems that the world, and for Lorena, her video is basically translating saying, how are we supposed to fight colonialism, modern day? How are we supposed to fight racism? How are we supposed to face and deal and take on sexism, the pandemic, and so many other several heavy factors that our world deals with today, with bodies that are depressed, that are sick, that are just overall in a really down place? And when I saw that, bro, I have never felt like something needed to be said. The way I understood what she was saying, I was like, that is so true. Like, how are we as a society, as a community, supposed to heal others and be an example for others if we ourselves within us are depressed with whatever we deal with, we are sick? And that can not even be like physical sickness. It can be like a spiritual block. It can be mental illnesses that we suffer with, like depression, anxiety, and so many other things. Me personally, I feel like I've been at a really big breaking point with my life, that I feel like everything is so difficult when it shouldn't be. And I even told my sister this, and she was like, dude, why does everything feel so hard for you? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, do you think maybe it's like a bigger power thing? Like, maybe are you like blocked? Did someone block you from things? I'm like, I don't know, but you might be right, because I don't know. But to each their own. I want to get into spirituality more and like higher powers and, you know, reincarnate. I'm loving my IG Reels algorithm, because one day it's some stupid cat video and other days it's like, well, that's stupid because I love cats and dogs, by the way. But it's just like, I see them and I'm like, wait. Then the next video is like a Palestine and I'm like, fuck, that's also important. And then my next video is like some funny shit. And then my other funny, or like the next reel is like some sex related thing because I'm horny and shit like that. And then my other reel after that is like about reincarnation, and then the next one is like, did you know that you need to see your gynecologist? I'm like, there are so many things that like IG Reels kind of, or TikTok at least, like that setup of TikTok and IG Reels and stuff like that kind of sets you up with the algorithm. And I'm honestly loving my IG Reels algorithm, to be honest. I really love my IG Reels algorithm so much. I have worked very hard to get that algorithm that I have today, and so that's essentially the deal. That's the tea today. But what I noticed, that the common denominator with like Lorena and Liz, both being Indigenous folks, is, at least from what I've been noticing, me personally, from these two sources, from two different people in the world, two different tribes, I suppose, is healing ourselves from society first and colonization. And we all have, you know, the conversation, or at least if you're normal, you have had the conversation or thought about decolonizing your mind, which I feel like I should do a whole other episode, a whole different day, about decolonization and how we should decolonize ourselves and our minds. And also, maybe we don't want to decolonize ourselves too much, because there are some things I do agree with modern society. It's a whole thing, y'all. It is a whole multifaceted, like I said. concept and layer of so much information and so many conversations to have that I even, me personally, can't even speak on, you know? Like, there are probably other people that are more educated on Indigenous folks and their beliefs and their traditions from the beginning of time, you know, and how they practice and follow through, and how modern Indigenous folks today, Native Americans, they, what's it called, how they practice their traditions from centuries and being erased, and how traumatic that is for them, you know. I think I saw a short film forever ago, I don't remember when, but I want to say earlier this year, about Indigenous folks that are in creative work and creative industries, and how traumatic it was for them to see their cultures and their beliefs and their people essentially being erased from society. Modern day, by the way, one of the Indigenous folks in the film that was hyper focused on them basically said, yeah, I was, you know, home one day, and one day somebody came through the door and just took my family and haven't looked back since. And I'm like, oh, so we're doing that in 2023 still. And I know people that are probably more educated on this topic, they're like, yeah, girl, where have you been? I'm like, I don't know where I've been, but I'm glad I'm here and I found out about this, and I feel very shocked, but also confused, and also like, oh my God, how the fuck is this still happening? And we all know why, because, you know, people, nobody, like, higher powers and governments do not care about Indigenous folks. Let's just be honest here. And it's heartbreaking to realize that to this day, to this modern day, I'm talking 2023, the year that is about to end, that it's about to be in the past one day, is still treating Indigenous folks and Native Americans like garbage, and that they're not people, and that they deserve to be so many things. They deserve to be killed, erased, not valued. Like, viewed as nobodies, essentially, that they have nothing to offer, and they're not good people, and they demonize them. You know, so many things, bro, so many things that I wish I can get into today. And like I said, like, this topic is so multifaceted, and so many things. But yeah, if you want to know about decolonization, I would love to learn more about it. I do plan on it. I do know that, you know, decolonization, and for those who actually haven't done any of that, or like question, or what is it? It's like the rundown is like you question pretty much everything, and you question authorities, you question higher powers, you question the government, you question everything the government has taught you. Me personally, I started doing that, I think, kind of more and more this year, but late last year, honestly, I have no recollection of any years prior to this year. And I can honestly tell you right now, 2023, I'm not going to remember in 2025, to be totally honest with you. And maybe June of 2024, I'm really not going to remember anything from June 2023. I have the memory of a squirrel, and also it's a trauma talking. So yeah. But nonetheless, decolonization, like, just a really quick sticky note rundown, spark notes, sticky notes, a schmoop moment, if you will, is basically just like questioning authorities, questioning higher powers, questioning the government, questioning just those in power that, you know, you feel like aren't really doing a great job of what they're doing, or doing a great job, you know, leading a society, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, decolonization also means challenging our current belief system now in Western society. Like, do you have to work a 9-to-5? No, actually, you really don't. And do you want to be part with nature? Like, that's like the whole questioning of it. Like, you're allowed to question society. You're allowed to question the things you were taught. You're allowed to unlearn the things that you were taught. And we all can agree that the common example is in history classes, when you were learning about American history, apparently they just leave out the big chunk of colonization and how evil, brutal, and how disgusting it was for those people during that time, and how generational trauma continues on in the lives of Native Americans and Indigenous folks today. And so those are the things I mean when I say decolonize your mind and decolonize your thought process. And me personally, like, when I see that I'm like having a really hard financial situation, or I have too much debt on my credit card, I'm like, that is not real. You want to know why? Because FICO isn't real. And fun fact, before I continue to the second half of this second 30 minute halfway point, the other 30 minute section of this podcast, I want to end for this first half of the section that FICO, by the way, for those who don't know, the concept of it was introduced, or no, not introduced, was created in 1959 by these two white engineers. Are we shocked? No. Of course we're not fucking shocked by these two white, old, wrinkly, have nothing else to live for during that time of, what's it called? They were just the creators of they created the idea of it, of FICO and credit scores, essentially. And then in 1988 is when I believe it was available to the public, if I'm not mistaken. And so to think that it's crazy to me that FICO as a concept into modern society was introduced in 88 of, you know, 1988. By the way, guys, my sister was born in 1988. So FICO is as old as my sister, who is 30, recently 35. And to me, that is actually kind of scary because it's like, okay, it's not that old of a concept. Like, that's very recent when you think about it. 34 years ago, 35 years ago. Are you kidding? There are people that were alive before that, mind you, or maybe a year or two before that. They were probably in high school or like middle school in 1988 during that time. And they probably lived the experience of having the world and being introduced to credit cards and FICO scores and shit like that. Wake the fuck up, bro. The Western society invented that. If FICO was never invented, we're going to take one example. If credit scores were never invented, we would have literally lived a life with no credit scores. I don't think you guys understand how damaging credit scores are to society. It's a means to kind of classify us when we don't want to be. I just think it's stupid, personally. I don't believe in it. I never will. I never have. Ever since I was little, I've always questioned what the fuck a credit score was. And when the second I found out, I've always thought it was a scam. And it is. And insurance is also a scam, but that's a talk conversation for another day. So I will see you guys in the second half of this episode. But yeah, I hope you guys are having fun. You know, colonization, insane. Man, decolonize your mind. Crazy. But yeah, we're going to get into the second half of this episode. So see you on the other side, babes. And we're back, ladies and gents. We left off on FICO being a good example as to, like, we should just not think about how bad, or actually we should just think about how bad colonization was and all that, you know, just an example of just like how awful it is. Nonetheless, the second half of this episode, I want to focus on just community and subcategories like in our world today, just modern day. Also, I want to get through this, you guys, because I am hungry. I'm very hungry. And also, I have work tomorrow and family's coming in for the holidays. It's holiday season, you guys. We should not be working right now. But nonetheless, let's just skedaddle through it. Okay, so my first layer and subcategory of today is community in society. And before I continue with that, I'm going to give a verbal trigger warning. We will be talking about Palestine and all that is going on in Palestine because my example I'm using today is in Palestine. And this is in no means me trying to exploit their pain and suffering. It's more of just like I'm trying to highlight the good things despite what we're seeing. And the good things that I'm seeing right now is their community as just as a whole are just so inspiring to me. And community and society is very flawed currently in Western civilization. There's just a lack of compassion for others. There's a lack of community. There's a lack of empathy for others because Western society, like especially the US more than anyone, is taught to be very individualistic and only think of oneself and not really care about others and only focus on us, hustle, and only think of ourselves. And that is not what life is meant to be honest. It's really not at all, actually. And I think also like a very mini example I can think of is I'm really bad at watching films. And I think the only last film I saw that was new to me was the Barbie film in theaters. Okay. I don't even go to theaters that much at all. I am not a big movie buff by no means. I know everyone in the world is. I am not. But I was watching, for some reason, I was like on YouTube. I was actually dancing this morning, just like, you know, trying to get my little workout moment and also creative side going with the flow. It's also Christmas season. I had nowhere to be today. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to dance this morning, kind of just be in tune with my body and whatnot, and move my body and whatnot, just get my creative juices flowing, you know? And I stumbled upon YouTube because I was playing music from YouTube on my laptop and my earplugs, you know, Bluetooth life. And I stumbled upon a video of Dua Lipa, Cynthia, I don't know her last name. I've like totally forgot it, but it starts with a T. And Olivia Rodrigo, and I believe Julia Michaels, I think that was her name, and Billie Eilish talking about making music for films. And I just stumbled upon the story plot of how Billie Eilish made the song What Was I Made for the Barbie film. And when I first heard that song, you guys, I have never in my life related to something so much and also cried so much and also felt heard so much as a person, as a woman in modern society. And I just fell onto like a never-ending spiral on YouTube of like trying to get like the story of how like her and her brother Phineas created the song for the Barbie movie, What Was I Made For? And it's just a beautiful song. To me, it's my 2023 version of Young and Beautiful by Miss Lana Del Rey. No one can top Miss Lana Del Rey, Young and Beautiful. But it's the same energy. It's the same, I don't know how to describe it. But I would say Young and Beautiful by Lana Del Rey walked. So What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish can run. I'm just saying. Okay. Nonetheless, though, the example I'm using today, or the mini example I'm using today is like, you know, community is like when Billie Eilish was asked about, or like when she was talking about in the table of like when she made the song for Barbie, the Barbie movie and the soundtrack, and how when it came out, several people came forward just saying like, oh, how much I needed this song. I'm feeling this way just in a different aspect of my life. And just like the connection that music brings with people, it's like the same emotion that one is feeling, but in a different way, it happened a different way in their life. And it was very impactful for me. And I was like, wow, like that really is, imagine being a musician and like you had the power to make that, you know? And it also re-inspired me in a creative aspect. Like, that's why I'm in this creative world. That's why I want to do this as my profession. And that's why, or at least a big chunk of my profession, because some days I lose sight of, or as if you're a creative, like you sometimes you lose sight of why you're in this, why you keep going, why you keep pushing forward and stuff like that. And to me, that was a big wake up call and inspiration to like remind myself, like, that is why. Miss Billie Eilish with her brother Phineas created one of the most beautiful songs that is heartbreaking, but it's very real and raw and authentic. And just the way as humans we are, like, dude, I used to float. Now I fall down. And now I'm asking, what was I made for? Like, those are like some of the lyrics that you're joking. Oh my God. And also when she did, well, I don't think her song was part of the soundtrack, but I think she, her and her brother Phineas made a song for the movie Roma. And if you guys don't know, I actually really want to rewatch that film, but it was basically just like a film that follows a woman a day in her life, or like a life in her life, essentially. And it feels very simple yet very documentary, like just like following a woman and her daily life and just how daily women in certain aspects of the world. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in so long, so I really feel like I should rewatch it. But nonetheless, also, yeah, her and Phineas made the song. What was the name of the song? It was for Roma, the film. It was like, okay, you know what? We're going to pull up Spotify because I feel like I need to get the exact name of the song. I'm not going to play it, though, obviously. But Roma soundtrack. Music inspired by film Roma. Let's see. Oh man, I can't find it. I know it's in here though. It's definitely in Billie's like discography that. Let's see. I know it's in here, so let's not pretend it's not in here, shall we? When I was older. Yeah, I loved that song. Oh my god, that was a really beautiful song. But she, I don't think it was actually in the film, but she like got inspired by the film and she just made it. I don't know. But nonetheless, and then she did also the film for the James Bond movie, No Time to Die. I also love that song. But nonetheless, that's where I got my creative like juices flowing, and it also inspired me a lot. Like when she made the song, What Was I Made For? And the background of it, you know, like the how it came to be essentially. And it also re-inspired me. Like she was basically saying, like, I was so shocked by like how everyone was feeling a certain way. They all felt the same way with the song, just in different ways and different stories that happened to them. But it's the same feeling of like, what was I made for essentially? And it really opened my eyes. And she was like, that's why I was in a creative, she was mentioning how she was in a creative block, and then that kind of like helped her and her brother come out of it, or it just re-inspired them. They felt like they were about to almost give up music. They were like, I don't know if I should be doing this. Maybe I've reached my peak and this is it. And then they were prompted that, you know, song and assignment. They were like, this is a challenge. Maybe I can overcome this. And they created What Was I Made For? Like one of a beautiful song. And I was like, oh my God, yes. Like that is the reason why I'm a creative. That is the reason why I keep doing what I do and why I keep striving for it, even though I lose sight of it at times. And it is a frustrating process and it is scary. But it inspired me. And that is what I mean when I say community and society. Community in creative work is a whole other conversation. But the main example I want to use today, like I mentioned, in regards to community and society is like how we see lack of compassion for others in our world today. And by no means am I perfect at that either. I'm still sometimes struggling to, you know, not have compassion for others, but like sometimes I feel like I lean to be more individualistic. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to anyone today. I want to be by myself. I don't really care about anyone today. I want to be, you know, selfish today. And other days I'm like, no, let's backtrack. Let's reevaluate. Let's come back to our roots and let's actually, you know, not be so closed off today, if that makes sense. It does vary by day though. Some days I'm like really closed off. I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to isolate myself. And other times I catch myself doing that and I'm like, no, to keep doing that, it's just going to lead to more isolation. And we cannot live in isolation. I don't know how many times I have to hear this. There are so many scientific studies, but basically human interaction is absolutely necessary. Why do you think when the pandemic happened, we were all going crazy and insane in our own ways? Maybe you weren't like bouncing off the walls, like being like, oh my God, I'm going to die. No. There's so many different forms of going insane. And it can also be like insanity in the form of like, you know, dissociation or just in the sense of isolation by force that you cannot even avoid. So we will never recover from the pandemic. There will be no sense of recovery. That will be a study that comes out in 10 plus years from now. And, you know, people will study it and people will be like, holy shit, that happened. And I was not alive. Even kids that are born after or like maybe 5 years after the pandemic. And like what? It happened in 2020. So 2025. All right. We're almost there, y'all. We're almost there. Okay. Like 2025 and kids that are born after that are going to like study the pandemic. I hope you guys are realizing and registering that in your head. Like they're going to study it in a textbook that they download or they purchase for their school year. And it's going to be in their history book. Okay. Just like every war was documented. Okay. And so to me, that's trippy. But the example I'm going to use today is what's going on in Palestine. And like I said, I'm not here to exploit their pain. That is not what I'm here for. I'm just inspired by their sense of community. And that is true, authentic community in its full form, in its most raw image. And actually, I want to say even community in society and at the worst of times. Palestinians have found a sense of community within themselves because they have actually had no one else to help them. And it's not only just a community and society that they chose to create. It's a community that they chose, or no, they didn't choose. They were forced and thrown into more than ever. And so the community that I admire about Palestinians, and of course, I'm not there. I cannot speak for all of them. I cannot speak over them. But the way I see it, and also the way I've seen Palestinian journalists document the actual life, everyday life of what it is to be living there in real time, I have seen nothing but Palestinians helping one another, helping each other out of the rubble when they have, one, no equipment to do so, by the way, and they also have only each other to rely on. There is no one, there's no firefighters, there are no just other people to help them aside from their own community, to help their loved ones out of rubble, to help them just be there for themselves. Do you know how many videos I have seen in the past few months of Palestinians pulling children out of the rubble and they are forced to keep going? They are forced to, you know, comfort each other for like 5 seconds. And they're like, all right, so what's next? You know, it's like, it's so heartbreaking. And to be honest, I think I also saw like a therapist going viral for basically being like, as a therapist, I don't even think I'm equipped to help someone that deals with this. And I'm scared. Like, I'm scared that I won't be able one day if I have to come to that point where I am here to help, mentally speaking, in regards to the mental health of Palestinians. How am I going to help? I don't think I'm even equipped. I don't think I was ever taught this. I don't think I ever will be. I have no idea how to proceed when that time comes. And that also shocked me as well. I was like, yeah, I can't even imagine how that must feel, to feel helpless when people might seek to you as a person that wants to seek help and self-help and mental health and take care of oneself and all entities, seeking a therapist, because that is what we're all taught to seek after, aside from other personal self-care tips, like, you know, taking care of ourselves, like in the gym or other stuff like that. Those are things that we do as ourselves, as our own individuals, to help take care of ourselves when we don't have someone to go to, or we don't have time to go to someone just in that moment. So we find other alternatives to seek self-care and self-love and self-patience. But other times when things are heavier and we have trauma to unfold, we lean towards therapists. And I can't even imagine, you seek that and they can't even help you. And that's also scary. I would be scared as a therapist too. I feel like even my mind kind of crossed that thought before I even saw that post. I was like, if I was a therapist, I wouldn't even know how to go about that. I don't even think I'd be fully equipped or qualified to help such a tragedy, like so much bigger than all of us as humans. And the resilience that I see with these Palestinians, they are so strong. And me personally, I'm getting tired of people calling me strong. I can't even imagine how tired they are of hearing it. Like, sure, they must feel, and like I said, I don't want to speak over them and I don't want to speak for them, but it's okay to be called strong, but also have times where I'm like, you know what, that's not enough for me. Being strong is a great asset, of course. Being strong gets you through a lot of heartbreak and just horrible things that we all deal with in life. But it also comes to a point where it's like, okay, how much stronger can I be? I can't carry all of this with me all the time. I can't carry the burden of trauma and even more so genocide and ethnic cleansing, something as heavy that I feel like all of us as a collective have only heard of in history. But seeing it in real time is a whole nother level. And I can't fathom it. I can't sit here and tell you that I can imagine what that, I can have ideas, like I mentioned, but I can't actually say, oh, I know what that's like, because I don't. And the reason I bring up community with Palestinians is because there, like I said, there has not been one video I haven't seen where they haven't been helping each other in some way. They have come together because they have no choice, mind you. And like I said, like these Palestinian journalists have captured them in a light that I really want to focus on their joy. I do. And the few videos I've seen of Palestinians just enjoying the simple things, like when they called for a temporary humanitarian pause and whatnot. When that was called for a temporary pause, the first picture I saw of Palestinians, or like the first few, like the first media I saw of Palestinians celebrate, quote, celebrating the temporary pause is when they immediately went to the ocean. They immediately went to admire their country, what they stand for. They went immediately to the ocean to be like, because I recall Plestia, I don't know her last, I can't say her last name, I don't want to butcher it, but she's also a Palestinian journalist. She always talked about how the ocean and or the sea of Palestine is so exquisite and so beautiful and so luxurious and so unique. And she'll be like, there's no other place like Palestine's ocean and views and beauty and on. I tell you guys, like, Gaza is so beautiful and rich and so awe breathtaking. And that I can even see in those pictures and media when they call for that temporary ceasefire or that temporary humanitarian, quote, humanitarian pause. And I could see that in all of the and all of the Palestinians. They just immediately went to the ocean. They immediately went to celebrate just the simple joys of life, the ocean, the beach. Like, even going to the beach is something that they couldn't do for however many days and however many years. Like, dude, like, to me, that's real community. I don't think there's any other place on earth that I can even wholeheartedly say that comes close to the amount of community binded together like Palestinians have in this time. And so I want to leave with that. I want to highlight that in regards to community and society. I just think that they have shown an incredible and resilient example of what it means to be in community. And it shouldn't be just about hard times. It shouldn't just be celebrated in hard time or celebrated in hard times like their community. It should be celebrated at all times. And when a lot of Palestinians have been posting like way before, like documentaries and film and even photos of way before October 7th, and just like even just like Palestine or Palestinians older than Israel, mind you, older than that like state, they show the beautiful sides of Palestine, the nature, the street vendors, just like the community that they brought along with them. And they just capture it in a light that's so intriguing and so beautiful. And I hope that as a society, we don't forget that. We don't forget the community that they have shown us. We learn from it and we learn to never, ever see that much heartbreak in someone's life again or a group of people again. And that we just simply learn from it, that we really just learn from it. And we also see the beauty in their community and in their bond and the way they've come together and the way they comfort each other. Like, it's just so important. And I'm running out of time here. But you know what? Honestly, like I said, there's so much community that can be talked about. And this episode can be 20 hours long if we really want to cover all aspects of community. But I will end with community aside from just community and society, because I had more what's it called? I had more subtopics of what community can look like in other realms of life aside from just our society. But I will end with community in myself. And when I say that, I mean I talk about myself in the in regards of to intersectionality. And for those who don't know what intersectionality means, from the gist of it, I don't have the actual definition up with me, but I've defined it in other episodes on Google. You can also do a quick Google search. Intersectionality means, from my understanding, is the social groups that we belong to and what various struggles we face in each group that we belong to. And it intersects together. Intersectionality. Crazy. Wow. Almost as if the word is the definition. And here's the example. Me. The community that I belong to and the social groups that I technically belong to are, I'm Peruvian. According to the US, I'd be Latina or Hispanic. And community, and also I'm a woman. There's also that. The struggles of a woman, that's also a group I'm a part of. And the social aspect of life, I'm a woman, I'm Peruvian. And yeah, I think those are like the two main ones, I would say. But I have to navigate life. And I feel like you, even under you listening to this, you might be navigating your life in a different lens, of course. Maybe you're from your family's from a different country and you're a kid of immigrants, you know, me too, you know, and you have to navigate your life to what you were taught and what you have to unlearn later in life. And community through my lens as a Peruvian woman, and the community that I practice and the things that I love, like dance, creativity, creative direction, fashion, fitness, and through all of those things, I have to navigate through that lens. And those all come with struggle. Those all come with, if I'm being honest, you guys, it took me this year and maybe a little bit last year to realize that I'm the first Peruvian to do a lot of things. I'm not the first Peruvian to be in creativity. No, I'm not the first Peruvian to be a dancer, of course. But when I walk into a room, and for the past few months of me being in a dance company, I'm the only Peruvian there. I may be not the only Latina there, but I'm the only Peruvian in that room. So it's also kind of a topic for another day. Like, we can call it that. But nonetheless, like I said, this episode could be 20 hours long, you guys. But nonetheless, I end with this. I end with this food for thought of community and what that means for you, self-defining what that means for you. And to go into 2024, to be more empathetic, to be more patient. And I know it's not easy. I know that takes a lot of unlearning and new learning and patience with yourself. And so we as a society need to practice that. And I'm no, like I said, I'm not perfect. I have a lot to learn in that aspect, but I am starting to realize to call it out more and to hyper focus on when I'm not, like when I'm not being as community-based as much as I should be on some days, you know? And it's not going to be every day. No one's perfect, okay? But it is important to keep that in the back of your mind when you move through life, when you move through career, when things are happening for you, to not forget about those behind and to not let those fade or those voices fade and be forgotten. And so with that being said, I leave you with this. I hope you all have a beautiful holiday season. And take care of yourselves, stay healthy, stay warm. And like I said, don't forget about the people on the other side of the world. They need you just as much. And we need each other, honestly. And so with that being said, I leave you with that and take care of yourselves and happy holidays to you all. Merry Christmas. And I actually don't know if I'm going to be in a new episode in the new year or if it's going to be right before, but we'll see, you know. Nonetheless, I'm manifesting all the good things for you and taking care of yourself and your mental health and your well-being, whatever that looks like for you. So please take some time of relaxation. It is the end of the year. It is like the one time I feel like it's quote socially acceptable to actually not do anything. And I feel like we should normalize that more in the new year, but that's a whole other conversation for another day. So I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.